Oh, the horse. Riding the horse.
Robert, this is the show I grew up watching. When I was growing up in Argentina, every afternoon after school, my grandma would serve a plate of honey cookies, and we would sit down in front of the TV set and watch this. It's called Marimar.
And it's obvious from looking at this that this is a Spanish language soap opera, telenovela, they call it, because there's a certain look that these programs have. How would you describe it?
They're very over the top, gaudy. The acting can be pretty shoddy, but above all, very melodramatic. Right?
Yeah, every single emotion is the most extreme emotion. So every time, like, it goes to, like, here's a guy who is as mad as a human being can be angry. And then it's all of a sudden they just break and they're just in kisses. They're as romantic as you can possibly be.
Yeah, no one's ever like, pass me the sugar.
It's always, pass me the sugar.
This novella is about a very poor Mexican girl growing up in a beach town. She falls in love with a very wealthy young landowner who's impossibly handsome, and he rides horses with no shirt on, as you just saw. And it's the whole story of how she exacts her revenge on his family. His family made her life impossible.
So it's essentially sort of a Cinderella story. It's about class, it's about dreams, rags to riches. Literally, she's wearing rags here.
Yeah.
And by the way, is every scene shot at sunset? Like, literally, that is the only time anyone has a conversation.
The golden hour. Okay.
It's right at sunset.
Okay.
And I could go on.
I can tell that you think this is super cheesy.
Yeah, it is super cheesy.
Listen, let me tell you something about telenovelas. They are like a force of entertainment. In the U.S., in the last month, the top four networks in the 18 to 49 crowd, which is really big for advertisers, there's NBC, ABC, CBS, and number four on the list, Telemundo.
Was the fourth most popular network.
Yeah, not Fox, not USA Network, Telemundo. They built their whole empire on telenovelas.
Now, of course, part of this is the growing Hispanic population.
Listen, yes, the Hispanic population is growing very fast. Here's what's really up. Telemundo figured out the perfect formula to cater to U.S. Latinos. They took this product that you think is so cheesy and they pushed it into the modern era. Hello, and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Jasmine Serena Garcia.
Oh, that's the way we're going to play it. I'm William Robert Anthony Smith. Today on the show, I reveal a secret that I've been keeping for 33 years. Jasmine, I knew your mother, but our love was forbidden because I'm a Canadian.
Papa.
Okay, we better do this straight. Today on the show, we tell you a story that, no, does not involve evil twins. Nobody dies and comes back to life. Nobody's cheating on each other. But it is a dramatic story nonetheless, because it is the story of how one network, in fact, one telenovela actress, threw out all the old scripts and created something new, created something that changed the landscape of television, not just Spanish language television, all television.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with this completely online process. Safely share your bank statements and pay stubs with the touch of a button. Ditch the paperwork and use your phone or tablet to get approved for purchase or refinance with a custom mortgage solution in minutes. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/money. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
A couple of weeks ago, I flew down to Miami to head over to the Telemundo studios, and I wanted to meet with one woman in particular. Her name is Perla Farias. She comes from telenovela royalty, okay? She's like the daughter of Elvis or something.
Yeah.
Her mom is an icon in the world of telenovelas. Her mom's career began in the 1960s. Younger fans might have seen her more recently in Torrente, A Whirlwind of Passions.
I love that that's the actual name, A Whirlwind of Passions.
It's good. It's a good show.
Okay.
Her father was a big-time director. He directed this iconic telenovela in the 1980s called Cristal.
Well, I think I could say I was born in a studio, in a television studio. That was my playground. And I did not want to be involved in telenovelas. You know, that's usually the case. When you have parents that are in show business, you want to be an engineer.
In Perla's case, her dream was to be a political scientist. There's nothing more different than telenovelas than political science. So she goes to the U.S., she studies it, and yet the lure of the TV camera draws her back to Venezuela. And she's like, yes, I am going to try being an actress in, of course, one of her dad's shows, Cristal.
About an orphan trying to make it in the modeling business. And she almost immediately realized she had made a terrible mistake.
I was mind blown. I was like, you know, because I was into the whole character and finding the soul. And you know, at that time, I would meet with actresses and they were like, oh, I think you need a nose job. And I was like...
Perla is such a sweet, warm person. She has these sparkling brown eyes. And you can talk to her for hours about Greek mythology, politics, feminism. She's an intellectual. And she felt like her soul was dying.
So she called up the head writer for the telenovela and asked for something that I guarantee no one ever asked for on these shows.
Could you kill me? You know, would you mind killing my character off?
So you literally asked her to kill you?
Yeah, the character, right. So, and she did. She was so nice, but she actually didn't kill me. She said, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to send you off to travel. And so if you change your mind, you tell me and I'll bring you back in. So I was sent off to travel. Of course, she never came back.
But Perla herself didn't leave Venezuela and didn't really leave the TV industry. She decided she wanted to write the kind of telenovelas that she would want to watch herself, something that could bring in all these different worlds that she knew about. And at first, she started to just sort of subtly tweak the genre that we were making fun of there at the very beginning.
So, for instance, telenovelas don't often deal with the mechanics of sex.
Yeah, there's a lot of sunsets and rolling around on the beach and the swelling of romantic music.
If you don't want to get pregnant, just never go near a sunset.
That is excellent advice.
So you can imagine the surprise when Perla wrote a telenovela about a young woman who is a virgin and gets accidentally, artificially inseminated. It basically takes place in her uterus, the whole novela. It's called Juana la Virgen, or Jane the Virgin.
And there's a U.S. version of this. I have watched it. It is a remarkable show because it makes fun of the genre, but it's also really sweet.
It's genius. I mean, they're talking about sex, but she's a virgin, and they're playing on all these themes of purity and sexuality, but it's not too risque.
So Perla got really good at doing these twists on classic romantic telenovelas, but then something happened that made it so she had to leave Venezuela. It was the early 2000s, and violence in that country was starting to be a problem.
Different situations had happened that were... at the beach house, some people came in armed. I was almost kidnapped. At the third time that I got a gun pointed at my head, I said, okay, I think it's time to go.
And so in 2003, Perla moved to Miami to be the VP of telenovela development at a television network called Telemundo.
And I know this sounds glamorous, you know, this job making telenovelas for the U.S. population. Ooh, you've really made it now. But you have to remember, at the time, Telemundo was a second-rate networked. They had declared bankruptcy, they had been bought by NBC, and they were just starting to make their own telenovelas, build studios, but mostly they were doing retreads of novelas that they'd gotten from South America and Mexico. Plus, there was a huge rival out there. Perhaps you've heard of it, Univision. Univision was the top network for Spanish-speaking audiences. They were the ones that had the very best telenovelas. They had soccer. Univision was always number one, and they were always going to be number one.
So, like, in telenovela lingo, Univision would be, like, the rich, powerful uncle.
The mustache.
And Telemundo would be, like, the poor, scrappy boy who has big dreams.
You know, at first, the dreams were, we really want to be Univision. We want to be as good as they are. But then they thought, you know, this is the golden age of television. Like, why are we just trying to out Univision? Like, what were their viewers watching when they weren't watching telenovelas? They were watching The Sopranos. They were watching The Wire. They were watching Mad Men and Breaking Bad.
So you have a renaissance of great TV in the English language market that I think our viewers are being exposed to.
Luis Silberwasser is the president of Telemundo.
So it's hard to ignore the fact that, hey, you know, why would Spanish language television be at a completely lower level than English language television? And we sort of we looked at ourselves and we said, no, absolutely not. We're going to try to create stories and produce those stories at a level that people can say, listen, you know, this is not dramatically different than what's in English language.
So Pela is out there looking for different ideas for novellas, and they're trying a lot of things. Some do well, others bomb. But there's this one moment that turns out to be crucial, 2011.
Parla was looking everywhere for ideas.
I have next to my bed a mountain of books. And so whenever in the weekends, that's usually when I have a little more time, I stay in bed and I read.
She picks up this book called La Reina del Sur, The Queen of the South. It is a novel, but it's written by a Spanish journalist, and it is an unusual take on the drug war. And she decides, hey, this could make a telenovela.
It starts off like the classics. There's this girl, Teresa Mendoza. She's a poor girl in Mexico. She meets a handsome drug runner. He's a really nice guy. You know where this is going, right?
Except almost immediately, he gets murdered. Like in the very first episode, the love interest is gone. And Teresa, she gets raped by his rival. She manages to escape first to the U.S. and then to Spain. And the rest of the story is sort of about revenge and her rise to power. Teresa turns out to be an excellent drug lord.
Telenovela audiences had never seen anything like Teresa Mendoza.
We had a female protagonist that was completely opposite to the typical novella protagonist. I mean, she killed people. She was a lesbian in the character. And that, for a protagonist, is huge. I mean, imagine coming from our telenovelas, our classical telenovelas, could you ever imagine having that kind of possibilities, you know? It was a big risk.
But Telemundo, they were in second place. They were willing to try anything in order to beat out the competition, to beat out Univision.
So the reality is that when you are used to not winning, you take more chances. You have nothing to lose.
So they wanted this product to look like nothing you had ever seen before on telenovelas. And the first thing they did is they spent money on
actual
effects,
scenes, right? And guns and explosions.
And they also hired this amazing Mexican actress, Kate del Castillo. Let me just show you.
Okay.
I'm such a fan. This is Kate del Castillo, Robert. Here's a clip.
El operativo va a ser hoy a medianoche.
So she is a she's a gorgeous brunette, but she's like has this intense look all the time. Like she looks like she wants to kick your ass.
No, and she does. I mean, that's what she does mostly on the show.
Which is totally unlike the sort of dewy-eyed, you know, gazing up into the eyes of the man you normally see in a telenovela.
I don't think she smiles a lot at all in this whole telenovela.
Spanish language television finally had their Tony Soprano, Kate del Castillo.
Yeah, okay, but I gotta say, this was not just revolutionary for Spanish language television. I mean, this was like a big deal for television in general. Yes, in English language TV, there's the rise of the anti-hero, but how many of those anti-heroes are women? It's mostly dudes.
It is mostly dudes, and Kate del Castillo has a look that could match them all.
Yeah, and you know what? Some people weren't ready. What you got to remember is in Mexico, there's a drug war, and the Mexican government is like, do not do this. You are glorifying the drug war. They push to have it banned, and in Venezuela, it is banned.
The first episode of Queen of the South was the highest rated premiere in the network's history, 2.4 million viewers. By its second month on the air, it was number one in primetime, beating out not just Univision, not just the other Spanish language rival, but English language programming too. Telemundo was stunned by the ratings. One of their head writers, Roberto, he was always the guy who started the party.
Roberto had a bottle of tequila in his office, and every time the ratings would arrive, he would open up the tequila bottle and go around. let's have a little shot of tequila. So, yes.
It was that good.
It was that good.
Let me tell you a story about how culturally dominant this program was. Sure, it was watched by Latinos all across America. Men loved it. Women loved it. Internationally famous drug lords were watching this program.
Okay, only one that we know about.
Yeah, but he was the big one.
Joaquin Loera Guzman.
El Chapo. El Chapo, the most wanted drug lord in the world, the man who no cell can contain, who digs tunnels out from prison under the U.S.-Mexico border.
El Chapo fell in love with Kate del Castillo's character, or with Kate del Castillo. He probably got them confused.
Both.
And we know this because when he was captured, they captured his text messages. They were published.
And these are the things telenovelas are made of. I will play El Chapo.
I'll play Kate.
I so want to meet you and get to be very good friends. You are the best thing in this world. We are going to be very good friends. I will take better care of you than I take care of my own eyes.
It moves me too much when you tell me that you're going to take care of me. No one has ever taken care of me. Thank you. I'm free next weekend.
Okay. If you follow this story at all, what happened next was amazing. Kate went to visit El Chapo, the most wanted man in Mexico, an escaped prisoner. And she met him in the jungle, and she brought along her friend, actor Sean Penn, who is writing an article for Rolling Stone.
Yeah, two of the most famous actors in the world go into the jungle, and guess what? That raises a little bit of suspicion. So Mexican authorities, they captured El Chapo because of this.
Yeah, and when they searched his hideout, they found what you would expect from an international criminal: weapons, cell phones, hair dye for his signature mustache, and of course, several DVDs of La Reina del Sur.
As a fan of the show, El Chapo should have known how this was going to end for him, because it doesn't end well for Teresa Mendoza in the telenovela. In the last episode, she is heavily pregnant, all by herself. Everyone she loves has been killed by her or by someone else. And she just looks out into the horizon, rubbing her belly. And you get this feeling that she's incredibly lonely and probably going to be in trouble.
It's the least romantic sunset ever in a telenovela.
Right. It's dawn.
Oh, it's dawn. There you go. The president of Telemundo, Luis Silberwasser, says this was the turning point. This is how Telemundo went to the top.
All of us who have something to do with Spanish language television remember La Reina del Sur. And I think it did signal to the market in general and to Telemundo internally that Telemundo could do something really big and could break into the Spanish language and become a real alternative. And with that type of story being very real, very dramatic, with a lot of action, and not your standard telenovela, that we could actually, you know, get big, big numbers.
Telemundo had found a new formula. In fact, they dropped the name telenovela and came up with a new name for this thing. They called them super series.
And for Pella, it was like this aha moment about the kind of characters people want.
Just with the time that we're living, I think it's also a reality in the general market. People don't relate to the positive characters, although what makes them human, they are villains, but they're not absolutely villains. They're humans. So you see the humanity. They make mistakes.
All you have to do right now is look at the lineup on Telemundo. They have a show called Señora Cero, which is about a woman who works as a human smuggler on the U.S.-Mexico border. You have an upcoming show called La Doña. It's a novela which centers a lot about violence against women, which is something, honestly, you don't see that much in telenovelas. And they're also going to be premiering a series called Hugo Chavez, El Comandante. I guess that's about the biggest anti-hero of them all in Latin America right now, right?
Yeah, the man who brought down an entire country, Venezuela. That is totally a telenovela that I would watch. Darling, I love you so much that I'm instituting price controls.
Papa!
let us know what you thought of today's show, especially if you want to hear more dramatic reenactments of El Chapo. We will literally do entire shows on the man. You can find us at Planet Money on Facebook and Twitter, or email us planetmoney@npr.org.
Thank you so much to our producer, Nick Fountain,
el productor.
And if you want to listen to another cool podcast, which is about race and ethnicity, don't forget to tune in to NPR's Code Switch.
You can find it on iTunes or wherever you enjoy this fine podcast. I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm Jasmine Garst. Thank you for listening.
He's coming to Brooklyn. You know that, right? Awesome, isn't it? He's in Brooklyn.
Oh,
what if he escapes
to
in Brooklyn?
Escape.
If he escapes in Brooklyn, I am just taking the week off of work.